Well, welcome back. We have another episode of Dirt Talk for you today. Now, today is a little different because I don't have a guest with me, but I have someone else with me. I discussed it on a earlier episode of Dirt Talk, the changes we've been making to the podcast. The big change was leveling up the podcast, the production value, thinking it through and making it an actual production, not just a spare bedroom production like it's been for the past year. And so we brought on Mr. Alex Horton, who's been a developer for BuildWit for about a year now, to be our podcast producer. And we thought we need to be doing more podcasts. So with Alex on board, we are going to be doing a weekly smaller episode to go along with our traditional episodes where I interview somebody or forget to interview somebody, so I just answer questions, but mostly interview people. And this is a smaller episode dedicated to, what are we dedicating it to?
Questions asked, questions answered.
Questions answered, questions asked. BuildWit happenings.
BuildWit happenings, BuildWit hangs.
Travel.
Travel could be cool.
Adventure.
Yeah, love it.
This is just an opportunity for us to talk more about BuildWit because, as everyone knows, my ego is enormous. I like talking about myself and us rather than other people. So this is a weekly opportunity to do so. There'll be plenty of dirt discussed. That's the whole point, is still to continue the dirt talk, but it's a different format. So we're going to be having one of these episodes a week. This is the pilot episode. Maybe it airs. Maybe it doesn't. If you're listening to this, it aired. So we'd welcome your feedback. And then every, when would this drop? Every Monday?
Yeah, I like Monday. Monday feels good.
Okay, so every Monday from now on, we'll have one of these smaller episodes where it'll just be us. And then on Thursdays is when we will have traditional Dirt Talk episodes where we interview someone from the dirt world about heavy equipment, dirt-related topics.
I think that all feels really good, Aaron.
It's a very niche podcast, so we're going to stick to it.
It is. And what's great, you know, it's called Dirt Talk. We're in our new office space in Nashville, in Germantown. Yep. And it's pretty appropriate that there's just tons of dirt on the floor in this place.
It's a disaster. It's a disaster.
And is it on brand if we keep it dirt? Are we gonna have like a dirt sandbox corner? That could be good.
You know, I've been considering it. We need to have some dirt element to the office,
like a really large Zen garden.
So I'm an oxymoron because I love dirt, but I also love everything to be super clean. I'm extremely just involved in the cleanliness of my home and things.
And that's where the cleaning your dirt or your cleaning your boots on the escalator came from. Got to be clean.
Yes, got to be clean. And I don't want to be that guy tracking mud through people's offices. But then at the same time, I love dirt. And then, you know, the whole clean pickup truck thing. Okay, great, clean pickup trucks. But I prefer pickup truck to be totally trashed and dirty looking on the outside, because then it looks like a truck. The inside, I like it clean.
Yeah.
But I'm not a big fan of the perfectly clean pickup truck.
I think that's a good vibe, because I think Nashville is an interesting place for that, because here the pickup truck is kind of like a luxury vehicle.
It's a status thing, yeah.
You know, and so if I see an outdoorsy, real rugged type car that looks like someone wipes it down with a diaper, I don't know.
Well, you kind of judge that person.
Well, I just know a lot about them based on just that one fact.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely judge them.
I saw a dirty G-Wagon the other day, Mercedes.
Respect.
I felt really good about it, because I'm like, you get that this was expensive because you bought it, but you're not precious about it.
Yes.
I think that was important.
Yes. I used to baby my trucks, but then it's like, they're a truck. They're used. They're there to beat the shit out of, because that's what they do.
That's what they do.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to be doing here today. And there's really no agenda. This is very off the cuff. We are just going to make it up as we go.
I think that feels good.
We've never done this before.
And if you can't tell, we really haven't done this before.
No. And we have no idea what we're doing. Well, Alex actually, I mean, he actually knows what he's doing from an audio perspective. I don't. I'm just the idiot that talks. So to get into it, we wanted to touch first on what's going on in BuildWit. And this is also to touch on the questions we get. The number one question we get, number one, is what the hell do you guys do? Because they come across me on the internet. I just explained this in the past Q&A episode. And they see all these cool dirt pictures. Wow, that's a cool truck. Wow, that's a cool excavator. This is really, really something. What the hell does this guy even do? Which is a very valid question, because I do a very poor job explaining it.
Well, there was also some value in under the radar.
A lot of value. Yes.
But this company's no longer kid with a camera.
No. And that was the first few years, is just kind of fly under the radar. Mm-hmm. And there's advantages to that. We don't want people knowing what you're up to. Because then when you pop out of the bushes, they're like, oh, holy shit. Whoa. I didn't even know you were there. But now it's
content on your camera.
Yesterday.
Well, that had like some other moving pieces, right? That wasn't just like, gotta go get content with the content team.
Yes.
Oh, it was that?
No, it wasn't. Okay, it was just kind of a fun thing.
Yeah.
For Reed Contracting. I go out next week, so I'm still doing a little bit of it.
Okay.
Not as much. Mm-hmm. I am transitioning to doing none of the actual content work that we have to do. I'm still going to be traveling, but more so for the sake of curiosity and exploring the industry rather than documenting a particular company and partner, which is what our content team is dedicated to now.
I think that makes sense, right? I would imagine it's hard to go visit one of our partners and say, hey, I'm glad we're spending this time together. Hey, actually, I need to leave because I also have to go shoot 10,000 pictures the next 2 days.
Exactly.
And I just think it'd be hard to like truly care for anybody that way or build any real relationship.
And that's the problem. It's hard. It's really hard to spend time with people, to get to know people when you also are there to do a job. But it's fun to do the job at the same time. So it's a little bittersweet to be giving it up. But at the same time, that's where we need to go. Mm-hmm. So to answer the original question, the primary business is a Dirt World marketing business. We do any kind of marketing, digital media. We're rebranding right now, so we don't really even know what we are technically. But digital media for construction and mining companies. Mm-hmm. So that's web, that's videos, photos, SEO, branding, any visual, verbal identity of a business in the Dirt World is us. So we work with about 20, 25 businesses mm-hmm. around the United States, covering about a little over half the country. Many of them work in multiple states. And we help them market themselves better to attract that next generation and to win them more work.
Yeah.
So that's it in a nutshell. I mean, it's starting to become a little bit more elaborate than that.
Well, yeah, we've got like an email chain that people can just jump in on and be like, hey, I've got this idea for BuildWit as a company.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good thing.
Yes.
I feel like we're growing in and we're in like the hungry stage of like, we're excitedly pushing towards this like next part, but also we're able to take care of our families and do really cool stuff without risk of, you know, anything bad happening tomorrow.
Yes, in theory.
Well, in theory, but
yeah,
I can get fired from any job.
Yeah, that's true. There's risk in anything. And there's, you know, if you don't take risk, there's not much of a reward there mm-hmm. either. And I mean, it's pretty cool to see everyone so engaged. And you've been here for a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And you came on, I mean, there were not many of us when you came on. It was like, there may be like eight.
Started talking to Dan, and it was like he put something on LinkedIn, and it was kind of I'm just going to reach out and tell him my story. Big deal if he's like, thanks, no thanks. And Chase on the phone.
I
I talked to Dan first. I talked to Chase on the phone. I talked to you on the phone, and I talked to Chell. I did not talk to Angel, but I think that was it.
Yeah, Angel's not much of a talker.
No.
Yeah.
There were gonna be a lot, wasn't going to be a lot to get. And so I think that we ended up hiring two people maybe between that time and when I came on.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was pretty early, though. It was below, we were below 10, and now we're, I was just looking at the full-time channel, because that's how I have to figure out how many people we have now.
Mm-hmm.
And the number is 28.
Look, I did that exact same thing yesterday.
It says 28.
It's not nothing.
No, no. I mean, up from, it was less than 10 this time last mm-hmm. year when you came on. You've been with us about a year now.
And I think I told somebody early on, there was mention just how we were going to be growing. We're not meaning to grow aggressively, but it's sort of like we're seeing opportunities to kind of fill in gaps for different partners. And with that comes the pressures of we need more people to fulfill this work. And I think there was a number like we're going to be at 25 by the end of 2020. And I think I told somebody to that and they asked me what like number employee I was. And I think I was like 6 and they thought it was just so strange. It's like, well, how do you get there? And I don't really recall there ever being like a waterfall of people last year, but no. All of a sudden we're like, oh, I'm having to have two screens to see all the people on my video call.
Yeah. Well, it's been really natural. And a lot of oh shit moments because mm-hmm. it's like, oh shit, we really need someone to help us with this. Oh geez, like we just need to go find somebody. And then there they appear. And then you just go to the next oh shit moment.
And there's sort of like a rhythm in that, I feel like, you know, where you say, yeah, we can do that work. And then you get to you try to get to it before the breaking point when you say, okay, for us to do this again, we're going to have these people in place also. But you also don't know that when you start. You know, it's like,
no.
Well, like we're all, you know, killing it out there, just trying to do our best work, trying really hard, you know, putting in the effort to do great work. And sometimes, like, that's just not enough in terms of volume.
And that's the thing, is we have found the breaking point many times over.
Yeah, I've gotten good at that part.
Oh, we've gotten very good at that. But that's the point, is if we're trying to do something and push the limits and boundaries, we're going to break stuff. And it's just, hopefully nothing's catastrophically broken. And we've been trying to avoid anything catastrophic. But at the same time, it's gotten a little ugly at times. Mm-hmm. But that's the excitement of it at the same time. Weird.
Yeah, and there is like the whole I know we've talked a lot about assume like positive intent, and I think that's like one of the great parts of the way we've grown, or when it's got hard, there's never a question of like, you know, because my job has started to feel like maybe untenable this week or this day, it's not like this person's trying to screw me or pushing stuff off to me for my like detriment.
No,
it's like we're all just like trying really, really hard to do a good job.
Yeah,
that's all anybody's trying to do in this company.
That's it. Yeah, and so that's what's going on right now. Is we early this year we got a little bit of capital to help us grow, which has been a big blessing. Last week, I think in the past week we've hired 6 people, which is terrifying and a record for us, 6 full time. So that's what's going on in BuildIt right now. We're just growing like mad, trying to catch up, trying to not break stuff, and then start these new companies as well, which will be recruiting, consulting, and the online platform.
Mm-hmm.
What could go wrong?
Chase mentioned we should start BuildIt Food. He didn't have a lot of details. He said there's a future in BuildIt Food.
Well, that is one of my life goals, is to have my own coffee shop. If you haven't noticed, I frequent coffee shops.
Sure.
And I'm very particular. And I found
how do you drink your coffee?
Lattes.
Okay.
With oat milk. I just don't like milk anymore. It's kind of just grossed me out. And I'm bougie. I'm okay with that. But I want to go create my own coffee shop one day. That's absolutely perfect for me.
For you.
Yes.
It's like, why do you only serve one drink? It's for Aaron.
And hopefully other people find it appealing.
Yeah.
And if not, then oh well.
Well, it would not be the first like restaurant bar that had that goal in mind was to like, plenty of people start businesses like, I want to start something that I think's awesome.
Well, that's what I did.
And then eventually people get into it or they don't.
That's Build It in a nutshell. I didn't start it to do anything, but you know, hey, I think this is kind of cool and I'm going to do more of this. Mm-hmm. That's it. So we'll keep updating people with Build It happenings as we go through this gauntlet. It'll be interesting onboarding so many people at once. We've never done that before.
Mm-hmm. Or any real like structured onboarding in general.
No structure, none of that, mm-hmm. which is one of the problems we need to solve. And that's the funny thing about growing, because as you grow, you solve problems, and then stuff that you'd never thought would be a problem 6 months ago becomes a huge problem. So like 6 months ago, I would have never even thought about onboarding. Now I'm like,
that's important.
Holy shit. It's really, really important. And that oftentimes makes or breaks into the business. So we need to become better at this, but it's just something I'd never even thought about.
I'll say this. I have had a job where on the first day I went to the office and there was no one there and no one gave me a key to get in.
Nice.
So in terms of my experience here, yeah, it's been smooth sailing.
Well, the bar was low, in fairness. but hopefully you become better at that. And we're sitting in the office. Mm-hmm. Again, that's unfinished. Once this is done, hopefully people will be able to get into it.
Mm-hmm. Our only furniture is a foldable plastic table.
Yep. Plastic table, plastic chairs, metal chairs with a little bit of fabric on mm-hmm. them because I went high end. But that's it. Two plastic plants. This is the studio.
I feel good about it.
But the new studio, mm-hmm. right just outside of the doors, will be our bar. And it will be
smart.
It'll be just like a size, like it's like probably like a 10-foot bar. Like it's no joke. It's no joke. I mean, it's going to be stocked. And so for the podcast episodes, you know, if someone rolls by the office, does a podcast, just grab some brewskis from the fridge, mm-hmm. sit there, have some beers, podcast. And if they don't have beers, we'll have coffee. And if they don't have coffee, we'll give them a damn nice glass of water with maybe a little lemon wedge.
It's thoughtful. It's considerate.
And we'll just be able to chill out.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and some of the best podcasts have something of that attitude about them. You know, Joe Rogan's has a little bit more
weed.
That's more one of the more mild choices on that show.
It is, yes.
But you know, it's like I think the stocked bar, the like grabbing a beer. I don't know. I think that sets like the right tone for both the company and the podcast.
Yeah, and I'm not like I am 20 Busch Lights on a weekend.
No.
That's not my thing. I like to just have a beer and just talk with people is really my cup of tea. But you know, we probably will have Busch Lights because we do work with contractors.
It's just industry appropriate.
Yeah, and that's what we're going for.
Mm-hmm.
So Build With happenings. Travel wise, what do we got for travel? The content team was with Sargent Corporation up in Maine this week. I saw they had both snow and absolute slushy muck, just disgusting looking mud after everything softened up on them. I went to Reed Contracting yesterday, visited their quarry, asphalt plant, sand plant.
That's all like outside of Huntsville?
Around Huntsville.
Huntsville?
Yeah. The Hollywoods, the quarry is out in Hollywood, Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, that is good living out
there. There's some good small town names in Alabama.
Yeah. Alabama is one of the most underrated states I've ever been to, in my opinion. I love the South.
There was a point in my life where my mom would say, Alabama is just in between me and the beach.
Yes.
Because we, you know, grew up in Ohio. And that was just like a very long state to drive through before you're in Florida.
Yes.
And then my wife is from West Alabama. And all of a sudden I was like spending a lot of time in Alabama. I see the value. I'm into it.
And Alabama has nice beaches too. They don't have very much.
Just a little like pinky at the end.
Yeah. Florida took all their beaches, mm-hmm. which was clever on Florida's part.
Yeah.
for the sake of tourism. Nice, well done there, Florida. But they still took a little bit of the Gulf Coast for themselves. So yeah, I was with Reed, and then next week we are going to J.W. Fowler. They're a underground utility contractor, trenchless, tunneling, all sorts of cool, gnarly projects based out of Dallas, Oregon, not Dallas, Texas.
An important distinction.
Yes, a little bit different. Dallas, Oregon. And so we are going to Portland for 1.5 days and then up to Seattle for 1.5 days. And then the three amigos go to see WW Clyde in Utah after that. And I stay in Seattle and visit Rhino Construction, where I'm going to hopefully do a podcast in person with Jason Wood of Rhino Construction.
That'd be a good one.
I've been wanting to get Jason on for ever since I started this podcast, because his story is so ridiculous. Just absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy got a start when he was 16, emancipated from his parents, went to become a logger. And that was it. And just started traveling around the country trying to make money wherever he could, and started a construction company. And mm-hmm. here he is with Rhino Construction. And then he's even joked about this himself. He's like a cockroach. Like, so many people have tried to kill that guy.
Yeah.
And he just keeps on going.
I remember I read like his summary of like his story, and there are multiple points in it where I was like, ah, that's the end. Oh, nope. He's back. He's got another idea.
And like, some bad stuff's happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he just keeps on going. So that'll be a great one. That's what we got for travel. I'll be summarizing that at some point. Good deal. We'll figure that one out. All right. What do we have for questions? Yeah.
All right. First question is from Josh Astbury. He says, do you have any information on family business succession plans? Unbelievable.
Well, that's the fire alarm.
Fire alarm.
But it wasn't us.
No. Okay, we'll stop it.
So there's a... Well, but hold okay, on. Yep. There's a kitchen below us, because we share this building with three restaurants. We're mm-hmm. the only office, and then there's three restaurants. So we just found out that if the kitchen burns something and sets the fire alarm off, it also gets set off in our office.
I hope that's what it is.
Okay, well, we can stop recording, and then we'll see what happens here.
Give it a five.
And we're back.
Never a dull moment.
No, that was... I'm glad that happened on the first episode.
Yeah.
Now we're going to have to air this.
No choice.
All right. We have two questions, and this is, before we get into it, this is from the new email we set up for the podcast, dirttalk@buildwit.com. I've been teasing it on episodes, saying if you have any questions or comments or feedback or anything like that, listener mail, send it to the email, dirttalk@buildwit.com. This is like our listener mail segment, where we answer your questions. And are you going to get very good answers? Absolutely not. But we will do our best to answer them nonetheless.
You sold me. I'm in.
That's what I'm here for.
All right. So first question from Josh Astbury. Do you have any information on family business succession plans and excavation specifically? Good examples, bad examples, things you've heard, or even good resources for helping those trying to pass a company to the next generation?
As far as good resource, succession plan. So there's a few options when passing a business down, when the guy or whoever started the company gets to a certain age, you can't live forever, and the business, there's something has to be done with the business. So there's a few options. You can either just liquidate the business and go put all your equipment at auction, say, hey, everybody, we're done here. Good luck finding new jobs, which I have seen happen quite a bit. There was a big auction out in California, Ralph Mitzel. All of his beautiful old scrapers went to auction, because that's kind of what happened there is, you know, hey, we're just going to pack up shop here and call her quits. It's a bummer to see, but it's happening quite a bit. So that's one option. Two, you can go employee ownership route, go the ESOP plan and give the company to the employees, which is what a partner like Midwest Mole of ours has done, or a Sargent Corporation has done. They're 100% employee owned. So everyone at the company becomes an owner of the company, which is pretty neat. Is there somebody out there? It's the fire department bus in here.
We're recording a podcast.
Yeah, yeah. So, hey, guys, sorry. We're recording a podcast. We couldn't stop. Or you pass it down to the next generation, whether that's your offspring, whether that's someone else at the company that, you know, has essentially acted like your son or daughter or whomever. If you don't have kids, your kids don't have anything to do with the business. So that we're talking about the third option here, passing it down to the next generation. Now, we have quite a few businesses that we work with that are multi-generational. The one that comes to mind first is Gelati Brothers in the Bay Area. They're getting ready to pass down to the fourth generation. So Mike Gelati is third generation and passing it down to Mario and Gino Gelati, which is really, really cool. The advice based on other mm-hmm. stuff I've seen is, like, from a parent's side and from a parent and a kid's side, make sure both parties actually is excited about it and wants it. Not everyone loves construction, and you need to love this industry to make it. So if you're passing it to your kids that don't necessarily want to do it but feel like they need to, which I've seen happen a lot, that could potentially be a recipe for disaster. So I think there needs to be some really honest introspection there from both sides of the table. You know, me as a parent, does my child really want this? And are they the best fit for this? And then the child, is this really what... Damn it! Maybe this is a sign that we should just stop the podcast.
Or it's one of those things where we have to soldier through, and that's the lesson we learn.
Well, what if there's an actual emergency?
Yeah. We need to figure that out. Okay.
Okay. So we're going to try this one more time. And if the fire alarm goes off again, we're just going to call it quits and take that as a sign that we need to wrap this damn thing up. Fire department is here. The restaurant downstairs, the fire alarm fell off the wall. They tried to put it back, set the whole thing off. Fire department's here. And we're just up here trying to record a damn podcast.
That's all we're doing. That's it.
That's so much to ask. So at least we know the fire alarm works, which is great news. We were talking about succession planning. So like I was saying, make sure both parties actually want it to be happening. Two, the biggest thing I've seen, and this is based off my very limited experience, is the next generation needs to have substantial experience and well-rounded experience across the entire business. So at a construction business, the most successful transitions I've seen is when the next generation has played... Is that another fire truck?
It's a fire truck. A little overzealous.
That's, I think, a third fire truck. It's when the next generation has played a significant role in as many roles within the business as possible. So at a construction company, they've done estimating, they've done project management, they've been a laborer, they've been an operator, they've been a foreman, they've been across the entire business, and they have earned it. That's a big, big factor there, is earning it. So those are the two things I have personally seen when it's going from one generation to the next. Make sure they want it and make sure the next generation earns it. And if you are that next generation, make sure you earn it. Don't approach it with any sense of entitlement, because if you do, that is a recipe for disaster, as I have seen it. And that next generation too, I have seen problems where that next generation hands it over, but also refuses to let the younger generation run the show. So they're technically not a part of the business anymore, and yet they're still the ones making the decisions. And that is another recipe for disaster. There's a lot of resentment that builds there.
I hear that.
It's really frustrating.
Doesn't always work.
No. No. And just getting out of the way of people in general. Like if you bring someone in to do something, comes a certain point where you need to let them do it without you interfering, even if they're doing it wrong. You just have to let them make their own mistakes. So that's what I would say about succession planning. If you are in that position, I would seek out other businesses that have been handed off successfully from generation to generation. A great example of that in our business is the Cat Dealer Network. They all have very robust succession plans and protocols for succession planning. Most of them are multi-generational. I know, like, Thompson, I think, is fourth generation as well. And I think it's D. Thompson that runs the show over there now. So I would seek out a generational business, get a hold of them, and meet with them about how they did it, because you'll be able to find some really interesting insight there as well. So that's question number one.
Question number one.
I don't know if that was actually worth anything.
I thought it felt good, Aaron.
Okay. I was interrupted by a fire alarm twice, so.
Fire alarm did not want you to answer that question.
No.
Okay, question number two. This is from Trevor Eller. I work for a small commercial and an industrial concrete company, and we are looking for a new large Bobcat. Please tell me about the different things on the market and what features I am not thinking about. Currently looking at a Cat 299 or a Deere 333G.
Well, Trevor, you have asked the wrong question, the wrong show, because I don't know shit about the technical aspects of equipment, really, believe it or not. We ordered a Cat 259. I've talked about it a bunch. I can't wait for it to get here. We went smaller, but you're talking about the big boys. Based on equipment, it's all pretty similar across the board based on how people buy. It's really all about dealer support and the relationship you have with your dealer. So if there's a lot of good things to be said about the Cat dealer in your neighborhood, I would definitely consider the Cat. If there is a great dealer presence for Deer in your neighborhood, then I think that would be very worthwhile as well. So I would definitely base it off of what dealer is strongest. If they're both the same, I would then just try them both out and base it off personal preference. And there's the other factor, which is resale value. The Cat is going to sell for more than the Deer. It will hold its value, but then the purchase price is higher. So I think those are the three factors: is preference, resale value, and service in the ability to get the thing serviced. But I've heard great things about both Deer skid steers and Cat skid steers. And have I ever run a John Deere? I don't think I've ever even run a John Deere skid steer. So I can't speak from experience here.
Okay.
And that's what I got.
I feel good about it.
So we put out a call for questions on the new dirttalk@buildwit.com email, and we got two questions. Very successful for this first go around. Very successful.
They poured in immediately after we posted about it the first time, and I thought that was just going to be my life, was getting questions. And well, now I don't know.
Be careful what you wish for. And we got two questions from two of our five listeners. So that's 40%.
We've got at least three more questions coming. At least three.
I think so. Yes, unless they're listening multiple times over, confusing us to think that we have more listeners than we actually do. Do we need to go over anything else today? Do we want to try anything else? Shoot the shit about anything else?
Maybe like just lob a big softball to this week's guest.
I've been told get more operators on the podcast. So this week, I got an operator on the podcast. And this guy, he's actually been recommended by quite a few people. Mr. Ryan Chrisman, Mr. Beefy Bladehand on Instagram, the motor grader operator extraordinaire out of Nebraska, the heart of the United States. I don't think it's really the... Is there a nickname for Nebraska? The Cornhusker State?
Yeah.
I don't know what Nebraska is. My dad's from Nebraska.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know anyone from Nebraska.
They're very nice people.
See, I've seen a handful of stickers in Nashville on cars for
Cornhuskers.
For the Cornhuskers, but
it's a religion out there.
That's about as much as I know.
It's a religion. It's, I mean, those people, wow, die hard.
Well, I think that our very own Kate is a Cornhusker gal. I don't know if she went there, but
you might have just said something very false, because I know she's from Kansas.
But I swear I've
seen...
there's
problems there.
I swear I've seen her with like a Cornhusker like tattoo on her cheek or something at a tailgate or something on a social media.
We will research that and we'll get back to everybody.
And if I bust her, I'm very sorry, Kate.
Yeah, you might have just screwed up. Let's hope you didn't. So yes, Ryan Chrisman, Beefy Blade Hand on Instagram. If you don't follow him, check him out. See his videos of him doing ridiculous blade stuff, because it's a lot of fun seeing what he can do with one of those machines. He's a big deer guy, so we get into that. We get into how he got into the industry. We get into the next generation, all sorts of fun stuff. So that is what's coming up on Dirt Talk episode 57. Now our episode numbers are going to be all messed up because of this podcast.
But I don't know that we should count these as numbers.
Well, this is a podcast.
It is, but I think it can be like 56.5.
Whoa. Whoa.
Because this is not like the Dirt Talk.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. You know, that's why we brought you on, for that kind of thinking.
You know,
that is the innovation we need around here.
Here's the thing. I've listened to a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So if people see the 0.5 episodes, they'll know that that's not really the one I want to listen to. I want the whole
episode. Maybe. Because that's a negative vibe. Sure.
They're not going to want to listen to us.
Okay.
Because they already don't listen to the main show.
That's true. They're not listening to either one.
Trick.
You know, so we'll just see. We'll see what feels good.
You know, on this podcast too, we could collect the messages we get, the positive messages, and read them aloud.
Yeah, I like that.
Because we do get some very, very kind feedback. I joke all the time. I think we're up to like, we're around 250,000 downloads for this show, which is mind-boggling considering we just talk about dirt. And I've just been doing it with a $500 little setup in my house and just calling people on my phone and just giving her hell.
Mm-hmm. And now, you know, the pieces are coming together. I think our setup's actually cheaper than that today.
But it looks more legit.
It looks more legit.
Yes. And
well, I guess I'm using my computer, which is certainly more than that.
No, that's way more legit. And we're adding production value to it, but mm-hmm. I don't want people to panic and thinking there's going to be some major changes here, because there's not. I still want the same old nonsense that we've been going with mm-hmm. for the past year now. It's worked out great for us, and we just want to double down on that nonsense.
Yeah, I think that's the vibe we're going for. When Aaron has sent me some of this audio to edit, prepping for a podcast, he's like, don't cut out any of the mistakes. I'm like, okay, you got it.
Yeah.
He wants to leave it in when he has to go to the bathroom. He says, leave it in when I say I got to go.
Well, I'm human. I make stupid mistakes. I say stupid stuff. I want people to know that. I don't want to be one of those perfect people.
Yeah.
Because those perfect people are lying. Unless they're perfect.
They're lying. Yeah.
Unless they're actually perfect, like a Tom Hanks. But other than that, you're not going to get all that close. So... okay. Well, I think we can wrap up here.
Yeah. This was fun, Aaron. We'll do another one soon.
Well, we'll do another one
next week.
This works out next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then whenever you're on the road, I'll just do even more of the heavy lifting. Yeah, literally.
You'll just do
carrying it. Carrying the big crate of gear in.
Well, you'll just have two microphones. You'll play my part and yours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, everyone, thanks for listening. As we've said multiple times on this podcast, questions, comments, anything Dirt Talk related, please direct your messages to dirttalk@. Please keep sharing the podcast. Even with all these changes, there will be no advertising. We do not want to be doing advertising. I'm not going to be peddling boots and safety products and all the other bullshit that people reach out to me about. We're not going to do any of that. We're just going to keep it as pure as possible. But to do that, to be able to do that, to have that freedom, we need your help and we need you sharing it as much as possible. So with that, we will see you on the next episode of Dirt Talk. Stay dirty.